There was a big storm last night on our island, and our trash can filled up with water somehow. And when I went to take out the trash, I noticed it, and the kids were with me. And I was like, okay, I got to take all the bags out and then dump out the water. And the trash can's full of maggots. And so when I dumped out the water, it splashed up and water went everywhere. And some got on my face, and I was like, okay, I'll be fine. I'll just wash my face after this. So I cleaned it all up, hosed down the kids and everything, and went to the bathroom. I look in the mirror, and there is a maggot in my mustache. Disgusting, right? I thought it was a drop of water. And that whole time while I was cleaning up the kids, cleaning up the trash cans, cleaning up the bags and stuff, trash was right under my nose, and I didn't know it. And we can be like that too, not just with trash, but also with treasure, with stuff that's actually really valuable can be right under our nose and we not know it. So this episode is about searching for God and not missing out on Him.
Hello and welcome. This episode of Amen Podcast is called Searching. Alex will be preaching from Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. I'll read those verses and he'll take it away. And if you're helped by today's message and would like to support this ministry, please visit amenpodcast.com/donate or click the link in this description below. Let's read. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Amen. So we're going to talk about three things today. The need for searching, the problem with searching, or actually there's three problems with searching, and then lastly, the three solutions to why the kingdom of God has great value. So let's get into it. So what this parable is about is that some people find the kingdom of God accidentally, some find it through searching. So in the last episode, we talked about how the kingdom of God is like hidden treasure. And this man in Matthew 13, 44, just randomly comes across it through God's providence. In this episode, God's providence is still involved because what makes the kingdom of God so valuable is that we can do nothing to lay hold of it. In this parable, it says Jesus says that the man buys the pearl. That doesn't mean he buys the kingdom. Again, we have to look at the parable as a whole and find the main point that he's talking about, because at some point, the parables can break down because they're not trying to illustrate something in every single ounce of it. They're trying to illustrate one point. And so we can't buy our way into the kingdom with good looks or intelligence or money or status. We're invited in, but we do search and we find. Some find it accidentally. Some people are going from religion to religion, from job to job, to school to school, college to college, looking for answers in the universe. And by God's grace and God's providence, one day they search and they find God. And what we're going to get into is there's two ways to search. You can search with your whole heart or you can search half-heartedly. But Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Christianity is the only religion of eternal value. There's other religions out there, but they don't offer what Christianity offers. And in fact, other religions, what they say is, prove yourself and you'll find. Prove yourself to be the person that is worthy to find the treasures of this religion, and you'll find the treasures of this religion. Christianity says, don't prove yourself. In fact, you can't prove yourself. Christianity just says, search. Search and you will find. God promises that if we search for him, we will find him. The Father will not hide himself from the diligent, searching child. Are you searching the scriptures to see him? Are you searching your thoughts? Are you searching nature or everyday circumstances to see his influence and his presence in your life? Because he is there. He is not far. We can see him all throughout our life. If we look through heaven's eyes, this little Christian cartoon my kids watch called Allegories says that. That's like their motto, right? God's work is all around us if we look through heaven's eyes. Are you searching that way? Now, the problem with searching has to do with finding. And in fact, there's actually three problems that I've pointed out just looking at this text, because if you look at 45 and 46 of Matthew 13, Jesus says again. So he's saying again because he's pairing this up with the last parable, the parable of the hidden treasure. They go together. And there's a little difference in them. And that's what we're talking about today, the little difference between these two parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. So this merchant is someone that's very wealthy, educated, knows pearls, and is looking for the right pearl, the fine pearl. And finding one pearl of great value, which we'll break down in a little bit what that means, he sells everything. This one pearl was worth all the fine pearls he already had. And so he liquidated all those and got this one pearl. Pearls were of immense value back then. We think of pearls the way that we would think of gold today. Like back then you could hold your wealth in pearls in the way that we can hold our wealth in gold. So you have millions of dollars and you want, you know, solid gold to represent those millions of dollars. You can do that today. Back then you could do it with pearls. So he finds this and then he gives up everything. What would, what kind of problems would present themselves when you're in the act of searching? Because the thing is, in our life, when you search for something, you're going to find it or you're not going to find it. In the kingdom of God, if you search for God with your whole heart, you will find him. Now, there can be a problem with finding, because maybe what you find isn't what you really want. Or maybe you're afraid of finding because then the search will be over. And then you have to be responsible for what you have found. Number one problem with searching is backsliding. Go to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, 13.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
If you search for God, you'll find him, but only if you search wholeheartedly. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Half-hearted searching only leads to wholehearted backsliding. If you don't give your whole heart to God in your search for him, you're not going to find him. The only thing you're going to find is yourself going backwards. He says, "If you will find me if you search me with your whole heart." Now, the second problem with searching and finding is change. Luke 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32.
Remember Lot's wife.
Now, there's an exclamation point. So it's remember Lot's wife. Yeah. This is an exclamatory thing Jesus is saying to his listeners. And this is the second shortest verse in the entire Bible. And it packs a punch. What was it about Lot's wife that Jesus wanted them to remember? Lot's wife and Lot and their daughters were rescued from Sodom because God was going to burn down Sodom. So the angels sent by God rescued them out. Their only thing for them to do was to not look back at Sodom as they're leaving. And Lot didn't look back. His daughters didn't look back. But the mom, Lot's wife, looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. She died right there instantly. The one thing God told them not to do was to look back at what you found in sin, in Sodom. Look forward to what you're gonna find in me. Searching in that moment would have meant not looking back at sin. Searching God in that moment would have meant obeying God, listening to him, and walking forward. She didn't wanna do that. Why? She knew going forward meant change. And she didn't want to change. She was comfortable with her life of sin back in Sodom. So she looked back. She did the one thing God told her not to do. We can be so afraid of change that we end up looking back on our old lives. We half-heartedly seek God because we don't want the change that comes with wholehearted commitment to God. We search, but we are afraid of what we might find, because finding means change, doesn't it? When we search for something and we find it, there's going to be a change that has to happen. For example, I lose my keys a lot. When I find them, I have to tell myself something's got to change. I got to put them in a different spot. I got to get an air tag. I got to do something to change. And we can be at points in our life where we're staring at change in the face and we think, I don't even want to go towards that, because once I find what I find, I don't want that change. Yeah. I don't want to change my behavior. And so we seclude ourselves. We keep watching the same shows, listening to the same influencers. We don't hang out with people. We don't go to church gatherings. We don't change anything. We don't exercise. We don't do anything, because we know if we search exercise, if we search friendship, if we search better uses of our time, better extracurricular activities, if we search in those areas, we know we're going to find something, and that finding demands a change. The third problem with searching is over-familiarity. Matthew 7:6.
Do not give what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Care about pearls. They care about mud. They care about slop. Jesus tells his disciples not to throw the precious things of the kingdom before pigs. Treat them with honor. Treat them with reverence. The things of the kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom, treat them with respect. The danger of being around things of great value is they often lose their value in our eyes. We get over familiar. We forget how precious God's truth is, so we joke about it. We handle the things of God like cheap toys instead of precious pearls. Let us always have reverent fear for God's kingdom and spend our days looking deep into the pricelessness of what we have been given. When we do, we will find no imperfections, no dull spots, only eternal worthiness. We got to be careful, because again, if you grew up watching VeggieTales, grew up in church, and you grew up watching Bible Man and, you know, VBS, if your life has been Christianity for, let's say, over 10 years, you are in danger of getting comfortable. Even if you've been in church for 2 years, I've seen newborn Christians, are only 2 years old, toddler Christians that are already laughing about Christian memes and posting them on their story. What's funny about this stuff? What's funny about it? What is funny about the kingdom of God? The only thing that we can find remotely funny about it is how badly we do not deserve to be in this. If you want to laugh at somebody, you should laugh at yourself, because you and I do not deserve to be in the kingdom of God. It's almost comical how much we deserve hell. But yet, even that is so serious and there's so much at stake, we shouldn't even laugh at that. Yeah. We get over familiar with the things that we find in Christianity. We have to keep bringing ourselves back to the cross, keep bringing ourselves back to the realities of the eternal depths of God, so that we don't get over familiar, because there's nothing funny about it. Now, how do we get here? How do we not get over familiar? How do we not be afraid of change, be afraid of finding, be in danger of backsliding? How do we really search God with our whole heart? The solution for searching comes in looking at the three reasons that the kingdom of God has great value. And if you hear me saying kingdom of God, God's kingdom, kingdom of heaven, which one is it? Are those three different things, Alex? Those are all the same thing. I think I've said in an earlier episode that Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. And so he doesn't say kingdom of God like the other gospel writers say. He says kingdom of heaven when he's recording the sermons of Jesus and recording what's happening in these 3 years of Jesus's life. He says kingdom of heaven because the Jewish audience, they would have took the name God very, very, very sacred. They weren't over familiar with it, if you will, like you and I were and are at times. And so he says kingdom of heaven so that they don't read kingdom of God over 20 times and then end up shutting the gospel, closing the book and not reading it. So he's being strategic in how he's doing this, but God's kingdom, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, all the same thing. So the three reasons why the kingdom of heaven has great value. If we see these, we'll find the solution for searching with our whole heart. Number one, the kingdom of heaven is unique. Now, pearls are made by a tiny organism coming inside of the oyster, scratching the inside of the oyster, and then the oyster does something miraculous. It creates this smooth, crystalline stuff around this little part of the scratch, and it forms over several years and thousands of layers of this thing called nacre build up and create a smooth iridescent gem. And it's a very rare event because a pearl of value is found in less than 10,000 wild pearl oysters. Now, wow. A lot of them are found in Australia. And the thing is, that's one in 10,000 of these, one in 10,000 wild pearl oysters, but that's talking about pearls of value. Right. In our parable, what are we talking about? We're talking about a pearl of great value. The Bible is very specific on stuff like this. What that means is this is one of a kind. What Jesus is trying to say is the kingdom of God is unique. It's not like anyone else's kingdom. This is a kingdom that's been coming for a very long time. Since God promised and made a covenant with Abraham. Since God told David, one of his descendants is going to sit on a throne, and that throne shall never see an end. It's an eternal kingdom. There is no other kingdom like this. If you miss this, you're missing a once in a lifetime chance. Not just once in a lifetime, once in eternity, once in all everyone's lifetimes. There's nothing else like this. It's completely unique. So that's one reason why the kingdom of heaven has great value. But the number two reason, in no specific order, is that it's strong. Pearls are a combination of calcium, carbonate, and protein, and they're both lighter and stronger than concrete. Our house that we live in is built on concrete. Pearls are lighter and stronger than concrete. Talk about strong. The kingdom of God is strong. Wow. Once you're in it, there's no getting out. God's grip on you is much tighter than your grip on him. Wow. You're in. And the Bible tells us in Romans, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not even angels, no height nor depth, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Why? The kingdom of God is filled with that love, and that love is strong. Now, the third reason is that it's pricelessness. The kingdom of heaven is priceless. You can't put a price on how to get into it. And that's why there isn't actually a number that Jesus is meaning when he says that the man in our story in Matthew 13, 45 and 46 sells all he has, sells all his pearls, and buys this one pearl. There's not actually an actual number. It's metaphorical. He's saying that he gave us all because there's nothing that you can put a price on it. You can't put a price on a person's life. What do I mean by that? Well, pearls were found and are still found by divers, but they're so far deep in the ocean, divers are taking their life into their hands in order to get these pearls. So the reason why they're so expensive is not just because of how beautiful they are, how unique they are, how strong they are, how of a scientific and natural phenomenon they are, but it's in the fact that someone almost died trying to get it, and someone probably did die. A diver that was trying to get this one died to get it. And not only that, the reason why humans love anything is because of meaning. We are creatures of meaning. We have to find meaning in stuff in our lives, in the cars that we get, in the clothes that we wear. We are moved by meaning. Yeah. With pearls in specific, what are pearls? Pearls come from an ugly looking clam or oyster down in the darkest, coldest, pressurized, most dangerous place in the world. Places that humans can't even really go safely. And it's covered in muck and grime, and it's held on too tight in the grips of the depth of the ocean and the grips of this clam. And out from the middle of all that comes something absolutely breathtaking and beautiful. What is that symbolic of? That's what we're all looking for. That's the comeback story of the century. That's the diamond in the rough. That's from rags to riches. We love stories like this. When you wear pearls, you're wearing such a story. Jesus went to the depths of death and sin and the wrath of God to pull back up the beautiful pearl of the kingdom. And he took his life into his hands. He says, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. He died at the hands of Romans, at the hands of Pharisees, religious leaders, but who was in charge? Him. He dove down. He chose to dove down to dive down there and get the kingdom. Why? Because he wanted us to be a part of it. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. The kingdom of God is with you. The kingdom of God is in our midst. The kingdom of God is at hand. He went that far to get the kingdom because he loves you. Jesus is the diver. He died to give us the kingdom pearl. Jesus dove deep into death to save you from the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. Luke 12:32, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It was God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why? Why? Because he loves you. How? By giving his Son. What did God take pleasure in seeing his Son in that position? Of course not. Jesus loved the Father's will, was willing to obey it perfectly, searching deep into the Father's heart and saying, "I will do what's necessary according to your will." And in anguish and in pain, the Father turned his face away. But it was the only way. For him to be a righteous God, a righteous judge, he has to punish sin. But because he's rich in mercy, he gave his Son. Because he's rich in grace, Jesus went and got the kingdom for us. The only appropriate response to seeing the value of the kingdom is wholehearted giving of your all to God. Otherwise, you have not encountered this infinite value. So what do we do? Well, if we look at this, these three reasons of why the kingdom of God that we don't deserve, that we now are a part of, what makes them so valuable, and how far God has gone to make you a part of that kingdom. Mm-hmm. If you really see that, the answer is a no-brainer. The answer is simple. When you really love someone, you will give your life to that person. When a husband and wife make vows, they're saying, "Our life will never be the same." They're saying, "There's nothing I won't give to you." They're saying, "I'm not going back to the old way I used to live as a bachelor or bachelorette. I'm giving my all to you." Why? Love. When you have a kid, if you really love your kid, your life's going to change. You're not going to do the same things you always used to do. You're going to make a lot of big changes. Why? Love for that child. Why should it be any different with our relationship with God? If you really love him, after seeing what? That he first loved you. If you see his love towards you, if you really see that, it should be no brainer that you give up everything. 1 Timothy 2:9 is a good verse to think about when we think about our commitment to him and giving our all to him.
"Likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire."
So back then, pearls were used as a way of showing a woman that you love them, that they're valuable. And so men didn't wear pearls. You know, it's not like today, which is, that's a whole nother sermon. Women wore them. You know, anytime that a man would interact with a pearl, he would have to be very, very wealthy. And he would either be giving it away to a woman, or what sometimes kings would do and rulers would do, they would mix the pearl in with vinegar and melt it down and then mix it with their wine and then drink the pearl just as a flex to say, "Look at how wealthy I am." But they didn't wear them. They were given to women specifically, you know, as a gift. What Paul is saying here to a young pastor, Timothy, is that in your church, people or women shouldn't be parading around adorning themselves with this flashy, flexy apparel. They should be a representation of the church, humbly and meekly adorned with the presence of God. If pearls in our parable represent the kingdom of God, Paul is saying, you know, what we should adorn ourselves with, both women and men, because both women and men are a part of the bride of Christ, the church, the wife of Jesus, the spouse of Jesus. Both of us should adorn ourselves with the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be flexing around and pridefully showing all these things that we have, because then that reveals we're searching for the wrong things, right? We're searching for the approval of others, not the approval of God. If we've already been approved by God and he sees us as valuable, and we thus see the value of the kingdom, shouldn't our lives be adorned with the characteristics of the kingdom of God, the true pearl of eternity? That's what we really should be wearing. Are you wearing the citizenship of the kingdom proudly? Or are you adorning yourself with another kingdom? Have you really seen the value of the kingdom? Are you truly giving your all? That's why Jesus is telling this parable to the disciples. He's saying, when you guys really get this, because you might not get it right now, they've left the crowd, they're in a house, they're alone. He's talking to the disciples and he says, at some point, probably after I resurrect, you know, that's probably, you know, where it happened because they all ran away at the crucifixion. When he resurrects and he meets them, they start to get it. They start to see the value. They start to see how far Jesus dove to bring them back the gift of the kingdom. And it was his pleasure to do so, although it took his life. When they saw that, what happened? They said, we're going to stop at nothing to give you our everything. They gave their lives. There's a guy named Justin in the second century who searched different religions, different professions. He searched like crazy, gave his life to the search of the answers of the kingdom. And he met an old man in a field. And that old man told him about Jesus. He went back, he searched the scriptures. He found the great pearl, the pearl of great value. And he became a Christian. And he gave everything, notwithstanding his life. One of the earliest martyrs in the second century. Gave everything after searching and finding with his whole heart the true pearl of value. Amen? So let me pray for us. And then the question is, after searching, what have you found? Father God, thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to search your scriptures and to look all throughout the Bible how there is one line, one string that leads to this great pearl of value, and that is your kingdom that we are now a part of, or at least we want to be a part of, and we want to know just how much it means to know you and to serve you and to love you and to give you our all. So help us, God, to never stop searching you and searching throughout scripture and throughout our everyday experiences just to see your working in our life, in your presence. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. And the question Alex has for us today is, after searching, what have you found? After searching, what have you found? I will answer first as always, and then we'd love to hear your responses in the comments, or you can answer on the Q&A section on Spotify. Yeah, for me, I think after searching, I have found, I guess, like meaning. And what I mean by that is like before, like Christ opened my eyes and saved me, I think I was, like many of us, I was searching for where I belong, and where I really fit in and where I can really feel, I guess, at home or a place that I'm a part of. And I never felt that way anywhere until he saved me, until he truly opened my eyes into what the gospel is and what the kingdom of God is and what I'm a part of and where my citizenship lays, even while I'm here on earth still. And I guess that, like you were saying, like earlier, that we're all like moved by meaning, and everything we do like has meaning in our life. And I think that I was in search for that. And in his kingdom, I've found that because of what he's done for us. And so I just love this. I love these verses because it's like the kingdom of heaven is of great value because of him, because of what he's done, not just because it gives us meaning and like, oh, now like everyone can have meaning and because you have a family to belong to, but it's more than, which is a great part of it, you know? But it's much more than that. It's because of how he gives us meaning. Like we were completely hopeless and defenseless against sin. And that was our nature. And that's what we were a slave to. And he decided to die in our place, to give his all, you know, like he's saying this in this text, it's saying the merchant sold everything, but he like gave his life. He literally gave everything to allow us to have this kingdom to belong to and to bring us back into a relationship that we're all longing for, which is the relationship with the Father. And that was impossible because of sin. And he willingly died so that we could be reconciled. And so, yeah, it's just like, it's so easy to be like, to think of heaven, and we hear this a lot too, to think of like, you know, wanting to go to heaven or wanting to be saved, because of like, it just seems better, like all because of the benefits. But like the ultimate benefit, which there are benefits to that. When you become a believer, you have brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, you have a place to be a part of, hopefully, if the Christians are welcoming and loving and caring. But it's not just about that, you know, it's he is our great value. He is what makes the kingdom have great value. Like he is our treasure. And how can we not give our all for him? When he literally died to allow us to even be in that kingdom. And so this is just so good. And yeah.
Very good. Yeah, this is a song by Whatupart G. I think it's called Hollywood. And at the outro, he says, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, he saved me." And I love that. This is a beautiful couple words, and they're so simple, but that is the appropriate response. Like you're saying that he saved us. Mm-hmm. And how could we not give our all, you know, and hallelujah is like the highest praise, mm-hmm. you know, and our life is worship. And so how we search is how we worship. Yeah. Searching is worship. Worship is searching, mm-hmm. and using our life to just search the depths of the kingdom and to give our all to him, mm-hmm. and to let our lives be a hallelujah. You know, I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you guys, hear your feedback and see what you have found, after searching.
Yep. Let us know about the meaning that you found or whatever else that you may be like Lokelani's, or it may be something else. But we love you. Thank you so much. AmenPodcast.com to support us, keep us going. Rate, review, like, subscribe, all that are other ways that you can support us. And with that said, we love you and we'll see you in the next one.
Amen.